affirmation and just letting God know how much we love and appreciate Him. You think about what He is to us. And when I say that verse, I say it with all sincerity, that He is the cause of all my joy, that He did fill me with His love. And certainly everything that I have and everything that I receive, God sends it down from above. It's a blessing from the Lord to be where we are, to have what we have, and to experience the goodness of God in our lives day in and day out. Let's give the ladies from Hidden Figures a hand. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord for our moment in Black history today. It's always good just to look back and reflect a little bit on where we've come from, what God has allowed us to do, and just so our young people know what we didn't know for many, many years. Amen. Because Black history was not taught in school when we were in school. Amen. I'll say most of us. I know some of y'all may still be in school or just got out of school, but for those of us who've been out for a while, Black history was not a topic that was taught in schools back in our day. Praise the Lord for His goodness to us. Just want to say let's celebrate with Joe and Davita Simone's birth. Amen. She is here. Praise the Lord. At home with her mama and doing well this morning. Praise God. So we thank God for another blessing that He has bestowed upon us. And these are announcements, so please don't let me forget to touch on those things before we go today. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to read four verses in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the message for today. Praise the Lord. God has been so good to us. Psalm, Acts 16, beginning with verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in the house of prayer, to worship you, O God. And we thank you, Lord, for what ears have heard and hearts have felt thus far. Now, Lord, we pray that you would bless as we look into your word today. Speak, Lord, that you may be heard, O God. I pray that you would guide my mind, direct my thoughts, O Lord. Just pray, Father, for the edification of the body of Christ, Lord, that we will be strengthened through your preached word today. If there be any here who don't know Christ, Lord, we pray that you would call them unto yourself. And we, O Lord, will rejoice with the angels in heaven. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
God's holy word.
God's holy word.
A lamp unto my feet.
A
light unto my path.
I
will hide it in my heart, that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in His presence this morning. Set free to set free. Everything God does, He does it with a purpose in mind. He does it for not just for our enjoyment or for our comfort or for our peace, but He does it that you and I might affect or impact the lives of somebody else for the kingdom and for the glory of God. And when He saves us from the penalty and the power of sin. It is for a reason. Salvation, amen, is a blessing of our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his intercession on our behalf before the throne of his Father. When we are saved, we are saved eternally. Amen. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is nothing that anybody can do to undo what Christ has done. Amen. It's just not possible for anybody to reverse what God has done. Amen. God is the most powerful of all people, all things. God has omnipotent power, if you will.
Right.
Amen. And salvation comes not only with blessing, it comes also with, amen, responsibility. Y'all come on, go with me now. Amen. I know we all want to sing going to heaven in the by and by. But it comes, there's some stuff we got to do before we get there once Christ has saved us from our sins. Amen. Amen. We are commanded in Scripture to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, to seek those who don't know him in the pardon of their sins. And the command is given throughout Scripture and in multiple places, more than Matthew 28:19-20. And that's probably the most familiar text that we think about when the command is given to us to go out into the world. But we need to understand that God has a place for us, that we have been set free in order to help somebody else come to the same liberty that we enjoy as the children of God. Amen. During slavery time, most of the people who helped slaves escape were either liberated slaves or they were slaves who had run to the north and they had escaped from their slave masters. Amen. Right. And they were consumed with a passion to see other slaves experience the same freedom that they were experiencing having left the South. Amen. And they were willing to risk their lives. Amen. Because it would have been a death sentence for them had they been caught by the slave masters. Amen. But they were willing to risk their lives in order to see other slaves come to freedom. And, of course, the Underground Railroad was the primary vehicle that brought most slaves from the South to the North. Amen. And we understand that. We hear about it all the time. And there were numerous, amen, people, both blacks and whites, who helped slaves reach the North from the South by their willingness to put their necks on the line, for lack of a better term. And some of the fugitive slaves and abolitionists that were working to help bring people to freedom was probably one of the most famous, is Harriet Tubman. Amen. But there were some others as well, and a brother named Henry Box Brown, Elizabeth Mary Chandler, Levi Coffin, Frederick Douglass, Calvin Fairbanks, Thomas Garrett, Laura Smith Haviland, Lewis Hayden, Joshua Henson, Sojourner Truth, just to name a few. Now, if they were willing to put their lives on the line in order to see others delivered from slavery, how much more should you and I be consumed with a passion, amen, to see people delivered from the slavery of sin, to see them delivered from a future of eternal suffering, amen? See, we should have a passion on the inside of us where we want to see others come to know Jesus Christ. And it becomes our job in order to show them the way. When I travel sometimes, I'll ask the attendant at the airport, can you point me in the direction of the gate that is going to allow me to board the plane that will take me to my destination? And we should be, like the attendants at the airport. We ought to be able to tell people and point them to the gate that will lead to everlasting life. We ought to be able to point them in the direction of the narrow gate that will take them into the kingdom and the presence of Almighty God. Amen. See, there are a lot of misnomers and there's a lot of misunderstanding about hell today. Y'all, come on. Now let me say this first, and then I'll go ahead with that. What kind of doctor would I be if you were diagnosed with cancer and I told you to take 2 aspirin and sleep it off? I'll see you, you'll be okay in the morning. I wouldn't be a very good doctor, would I? What kind of doctor, fireman, let me use the fireman, what kind of fireman would I be if I rolled up and your house was on fire? I said, well, it'll go out in a little bit. Just let it burn on down. It wouldn't be a very good fireman, would it? Amen. So I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I didn't tell you about hell. Amen. Because you need to understand that hell is not a place where you want to go. Amen. And see, hell is talked about throughout the New Testament, and there's more references to hell than there is to heaven when you read God's word. Let me just kind of paint a little picture. It ain't going to be no parties in hell. Don't think you're going to hook up with all your homies and buddies and y'all going to have a good time down there just because y'all there together. That's not how it's going to work. Hell is a dark place. Hell is a place of suffering. I mean, even Satan, the prince of darkness, is going to be suffering in hell. Amen. He just because he's running things down there now, God gonna crank up the heat where even he is paying a price. Because when you read the book of Revelation, it talks about a place that is called the lake of fire. And in the lake of fire, Satan's gonna be cast in there, all his angels, even death and hell are going to end up in the lake of fire. So when you think about this thing, don't think about it lightly like it ain't no big deal for people not to find out about Jesus Christ. It's paramount. It is critical that we tell people and prepare them for leaving this walk of life. Now, as we go through this, I just want to lift up 3 brief points. I don't plan to keep you long. But I do want to lift up 3 points out of this passage today. And the first one is trying to do the right thing. Acts 16:6. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Paul and Silas weren't bothering anybody. They were just on their way to the place of prayer. They were trying to do the right thing. It was the time of day, and it was the time that they went to the temple in order to pray. But while they were trying to do the right thing, here comes this girl who is possessed with a spirit of divination. And if you go back and do the research, it talks about a python spirit. And the python was a snake that guarded the entrance to a demonic temple, if you will. And this girl was possessed with this spirit. And through this spirit, she was able to tell fortunes, and her masters were able to make money by her fortune telling. Amen.
And they were handling their business. They were just going to the temple to pray. They were trying to do the right thing. Amen. And see, believe me, you'll be out there on your way trying to do the right thing, and the enemy will come against you out of nowhere. He'll just show up in ways that you could never imagine that he would come and begin to disrupt you. How many of y'all got up this morning and made it out to church without any kind of disruptions by the enemy? Oh, okay. I don't see nobody's hands, but maybe some of the children. Because we all know that on Sunday morning, Satan's going to come up with some stuff in order to slow us down and maybe even deter us from coming out of the house at all. They were just trying to do the right thing, just like we were trying to do the right thing this morning, and overcame and came on to church. Now, the way Satan works, and that's point number two. See, point, I told you I'm not going to keep you long. Was the enemy's distraction. And in Acts 16, 17, 18, it says, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. That was true. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. What this spirit was saying through this girl was true. Paul and Silas were servants, what? Of the Most High God. But she did it to a point where it became a distraction. It became annoying to Paul. And see, the enemy still works that way today. They will take your good name, they'll take your good intentions, and they will mess with you because you desire to do the right thing. Let me ask another question this morning. Has anybody ever been called holier than thou, goody two shoes, or some of those other names that they call Christians when you tell them, I can't do this because I got to go to worship, or I got to go do this or do that in the church. Anybody ever been called out of? I know I have. Amen. And it's because Satan is only trying to distract you from doing what is most important. You can know that the enemy will come against you. He will send delusions. He will send distractions. Now, let me just touch on a few. And not my intent to offend anybody, but you know, sometimes just when we are trying to do our best, Satan will come at us, amen, and they come with unlimited overtime. You can work Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, all day, whatever you want to do, and Satan starts saying, shoo, you need that money. You can go to church anytime. Distraction that keeps us from doing what God has really called us to do. Now, but let me do one more and I'll move on. But a real good one is, you know, the phone rings and say, hey, man, what's up? Hey, hi, what's going on, man? You know what, man, I got some tickets to the game on Sunday. But I got something else I got to do. And, you know, you can have them if you want them. Lord have mercy. That's a distraction. When you can get free tickets to go into Arrowhead or Kauffman Stadium, amen, on Sunday. But you know what our reply should be? Thank you, but I got something else I got to do on Sunday too. I got to go worship my God, amen. So or you can do like Pastor has done. You can graciously take the tickets. And then, when church let out, change your clothes, drive on over to the stadium, park. And you know what the beauty of it is?
You ain't got to fight the crowd to get into the parking lot. You can park your car. You can walk in without bumping into folk and saying, excuse me, 10 times. Go on up there, get your hot dog and your Pepsi. Go to your seat and join the people who you were going to the game with and have a great time, and we'll have given God the glory. But Satan is cunning, so you have to be wiser than him. And let me just say it like this, and I'm going to move on. Don't take every distraction Satan throws your way. Paul got tired of this girl, harassing them, following them. Even though she was telling the truth, it was annoying to Paul. And you can be living the right kind of life, and that spirit will come and will attack you. And now you may not be able to call it out like Paul because it's not living in a person like this spirit was. But what you can say is, Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. Go on, leave me alone, and then just keep it moving. Doing the right thing, amen, and then the enemy's distractions. Now, sometimes when you're trying to do the right thing, it'll get you in trouble. It will cause you, amen, to get caught up in a situation that will cause you pain or cause you to be ostracized or hurt in some way or another. Let me read this. Verses 19 through 24. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore their robes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, because their ability to earn money had been taken away, these owners were upset with Paul and Silas. And the word owner signifies or suggests that she was what? A slave. That they had purchased her for gain. They had bought her from somebody in order to use the spirit of divination in order to make money. And what we all know is you don't mess with a man and his money. I figured some brothers would say amen to that one. you don't mess with me and my money, and the other thing you don't mess with is me and my family. Amen. So when you look at this thing, they had purchased her, and they were using the spirit of divination in order to make money. So they drug Paul and Silas before the magistrates, and they told them that these Jews are teaching customs that are not lawful for us to receive or to observe. And the judges commanded that Paul and Silas, what? Be beaten and thrown into prison. Now, they beat them with rods. And rods are about this size, and they are flexible branches that have been bundled together in order to strike people and do serious damage to them, amen. And it made me think about, grandma used to have a switch, amen. And that switch was all you needed in order to get my attention. And you could try to run, and that switch was long enough, pow! And next thing you know, you'd be trying to get on back or get on further away,
so that you wouldn't get any more lashes from grandma. And she said, come here, you better not run. Because she wasn't even going to get out of her chair. She would dispatch one of the other grandkids who was older, faster, and bigger to bring you back. And Lord have mercy. If somebody had to come, if they had to get you and bring you back, you was in a whole lot of trouble. I never experienced it. My dad used to talk about how his mother would put his head between her knees. And all the things sticking out there was backside. it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to reach that and inflict some serious correction on his bottom side. Amen. Now, the whole thing with this is that it was an illegal trial. It really wasn't a trial. Because they were never given the opportunity to give their side of the story. They were not given an opportunity to defend themselves in any way. And it was an illegal punishment. And because they had not committed any type of crime, they had not been convicted of any kind of crime. They just chose to take the words of these men, whip Paul and Silas, and lock them up in jail. Sometimes we'll be accused, we'll be criticized, we'll be punished or passed over, amen, without due process. So you need to understand that doing the right thing sometimes can get you in trouble. Now, just a quick story, and I'll move on from here. I remember one time we were setting some machines, and a little bitty detail on the blueprint, it says verify that the foundations are within so many thousandths of an inch. I missed it, my crew missed it, and we set the machines in, and the engineer came up and he said, well, did you see, read that note and check the foundation to verify? Well, no, why would we verify them? These are precision foundations. And if the installers did what they were supposed to do, they should be right on the bubble. He left the job, my phone rang. And not my boss, but my boss's boss called. Asked me to come to his office, went to his office, hey, all right, what's up with me? Y'all missed that detail? I said, yes, we did. I said, but let me tell you something, Al. If they don't come in and we have to take them back off and reset them, I'll take my lick because that's my responsibility. But I'm not going to take one if everything is good. The engineer tried to put me in a position. He didn't go to my boss. He went to my boss's boss to try to get me in trouble. And certainly, the thing that I liked about my boss's boss, he was willing to at least hear me out. All the machines came in perfectly without any of them having to be removed, adjusted, or anything because the contractor did a good job and they were within the parameters that allowed us to get them where they needed to be for production. They beat them, they locked them up in prison. But they were not deterred from their original mission and objective. If you remember that wherever they were going to the temple to pray. And so while they were locked up in prison, feed in stocks, they wasn't having a pity party. But my Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and to sing. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up. They were going to the temple to pray. But in the prison, in stocks, they began to do what they were headed to the temple to do. They began to pray and they began to sing hymns And then while they were doing it, and then the Bible says that the prisoners were listening to them. And while they was listening, suddenly there came an earthquake, and all the doors, it shook the foundations of the prison, and all the doors were opened up. Oh my God. And the Bible says that the jailer was awakened out of his sleep, seeing the doors open, thinking everybody had left, took out his sword to kill himself, because for prisoners to escape would result in his execution. But Paul cried out with a loud voice and said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here. We haven't gone anywhere. Just hold on. We're still here." And see, the thing that's so beautiful about it is that they didn't take flight. They stayed there because God had placed them where he needed them in order to set the jailer and his family free. They demonstrated the power of God by remaining steadfast and doing what their original mission was. God put them there in order to bring this man to a position of liberty. He ran in, saw that everybody there, he was there trembling, fell down, and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And my Bible says that they spoke the word of God to them. Amen. They told them about Jesus Christ. And not only was the jailer saved, but him and his whole house were set free, because Paul and Silas were set free that night. They were baptized. Amen. And when they brought him in, then he took them home with him.
Come on.
Opened up, fed them. And all the whole house gave their lives to Jesus Christ. God has saved you and me to be ambassadors, to be the vehicle, to be the channels, to bring other people into the kingdom of God. And we should have a passion to see our family, to see our friends, to see our loved ones, to see those even we work with every day saved and knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, separated, amen, from hell and damnation. That place where pain is never going to end. The reason we don't do more evangelism is because we lost concern for lost people. People are just not concerned about whether they get there or not. We're kind of like the little boy lost at Disneyland. He's having so much fun with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. He's having so much fun riding the Ferris wheel, amen, and the roller coasters, and taking advantage of all the things that are available in Disneyland. He's having a marvelous time, and he doesn't even realize that being in the crowd, that he's been separated from his parents. He didn't realize that he had gotten lost because he was having so much fun. Satan has so designed this world order, amen, that you got to watch the distractions, amen? Because if you don't watch for the distractions, you don't realize that you're lost in your spiritual Disneyland. Oh, y'all, come on. Amen. And we get caught up with the rides and all the activities and all the things that Satan brings our way, and we just forget about the fact that we are lost
lost laws. Now, we get caught up in the movies and in the clubs. We get caught up in the parties. We get caught up in social relationships, and especially with social media and all the things that's there. You know, we can be getting it on with somebody that's out in New York when we're here in the Midwest, or somebody in California when we are here in the Midwest. So, we get distracted by the money, the jobs, and it's all a satanic camouflage, amen, to keep us from realizing that we are really separated from God. Mankind spends too much time having fun and don't realize that they're lost. And it becomes our responsibility, just like the parents of this particular child. When they were looking for him and they couldn't find him, they knew he was lost in Disneyland. They went to a security officer there and they told him that their child had been lost and they couldn't find him. And a security man went to the main office. They looked on the films and the cameras and they located the little boy, and he took the parents directly to their child. God wants us to be like those parents, to be looking for his lost children. Amen. He wants us to be looking for his lost children so he can save them and they can have fellowship with him. We are the ones God has chosen to deliver the message that Jesus Christ is our deliverer, that he is our substitute, that he is our propitiation, that he died out on Mount Calvary for our sins. Amen. He wants us to tell them that not only did he die, but that he rose again from the dead. And when he rose, he went back to glory. And there he is advocating on our behalf before the throne of Almighty God. He wants us to tell them that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He wants us to tell them that he is Alpha and he is Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. He wants us to tell them that one day he's coming back again. And when he comes back, he's not coming back as a savior, but he's coming back as a judge. And everybody needs to be ready when the Lord comes back again. Let me ask you, are you ready this morning? That if Jesus come back before the day is over, are you ready, amen, to go back with him? Are you sure that you will go with the Lord? Well, praise the Lord that you're confident that you're ready. But let me ask you another question. Are your brothers and sisters ready? Are your parents ready? Are your cousins and your co-workers, are they ready? Have you told them that they need to give their lives to Jesus? God set you free in order to set someone else free. Paul and Silas did what God called them to do. You and I need to get about the business of telling other folk how to get to heaven.
That's right.
Amen. See, and this is not an indictment. I hope it's an encouragement.
That's right.
That will cause you to think about. You remember last year we had you fill out those cards and put them in an envelope? Y'all remember that? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or tell me how many. How many of those people are saved today? How many did you effectively minister to, witness to, and they gave their lives to Jesus Christ? God saved you to help someone else get saved. Those five names you put on that card are five souls that if they don't come to know Jesus Christ, they will end up in hell for all eternity. Now, you can't make them get saved, but did you plant a seed? Did you water the seed? We need to be in the business every day of planting and watering. Let men and women come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because believe me, it's going to be a crowd in hell. But I don't want none of my family to go to hell. I got cousins that I pray for by name every day that I ask the Lord to save them. And I'm believing him that before their eyes close in death, they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every time I get a chance to talk to them, I try to drop a word or water the seeds that I've already planted to encourage them to come to Jesus. Christian charity, it's not just our job, but it is all believers' job to take the gospel, help save somebody else, because God has saved us. Amen.
Amen.
Stand with me.